Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. Your Scofield Bible, page 858. We'll be reading the first four verses responsively, the fourth verse being the text verse. Ezekiel 18, 1 through 4, page 858. Then after reading those verses, we'll turn to yet another passage. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Turn now to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, page 1216 in your Scofield Bible. Or 1217, rather. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 18 through 20. These three verses, this time we'll read them all together. Begin with me, please, on verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. And Father, what a good day you've given us thus far. We thank you for every victory, every blessing. And thank you for the beautiful music of the day. Thank you, too, for this time of hearing the preaching of thy word. Sunday nights represent a special time in the schedule of the week, and we pray that you'd bless in this hour. We need thee, O Holy Spirit. Our hearts need to be ready and open and alert. We pray that you'd bless our preacher with your power. In Jesus' name, amen.
The sermon I'm going to preach tonight, its time has come. And I want you to listen very, very carefully. I want everybody to sit up. I want you to put your pencils and pens away and your notebooks away. And I want everybody in the building, high school, children, young people, children, college students, adults, everybody in every nook and cranny of the building, to listen very carefully. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, All Souls Are Mine, saith the Lord, our Heavenly Father. I believe the time has come for this sermon tonight, and I pray that you'd let me have the attention of every single person in this room. Give us of thy spirit. Accomplish thy will and purpose through this hour. And help me in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow me carefully. Man is a threefold creature. Man is body. Man is soul. Man is spirit. The body is that which we see. The soul is that with which we have fellowship. I see your body tonight. You see my body. If we meet here and chat a few moments, it is the soul that interacts one with the other. It is my body which enables you to see me. It is my soul which enables you to know me. My spirit is that which enables me to fellowship with my God. Don't leave me. My body is that which you see. My soul is that which enables me to fellowship with you. And my spirit is that which enables me to fellowship with my God. When man is saved, the spirit is quickened, comes to life. And man, being a threefold creature, that the spirit is that with which he fellowships with God. That's why joining the church can't get you to heaven, because you don't have anything, can't get you saved, because there's nothing in the body and the soul that can make contact with God. You've got to have something born in you which can make contact with God. You can baptize the body, straighten up the body, make the body attractive. You can make the soul delightful, give the soul a wonderful personality, but there's still nothing that can enable that soul to fellowship with God, or that body to fellowship with God. Doctor the body up, put it in the church, put it in the baptistry, put some water on top of it, put some grape juice inside of it. It's still a body, and it cannot fellowship with God. That's why when man is born again, that spirit, according to Colossians 2:1, is quickened. And then there is something that can fellowship with God. That's why if you've not been born again, you're going to go to hell. That's why you cannot go to heaven unless you've been born again, because there's nothing in the body and the soul that can fellowship with your God. That's why Jesus said, don't be afraid of that which can destroy just the body, but be afraid of the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Because your soul can be your soul can become attractive. Your personality can become winsome. You can have all charisma you want to have. You can have a clean mind as far as your soul is concerned. And yet you'll die and go to hell unless you get born again. Because that which is born again is the spirit in man. And that spirit is that part of man which enables him to fellowship with his God. Now follow me carefully again. I want to tell you where each of these live. The body is the home of the soul. The soul is the home of the spirit. The spirit is the home of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. My soul lives in my body. Now that's why my body ought to be clean. Because it's the habitat of my soul. My soul is the habitat of my spirit. That's why my mind ought to be clean. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Because my spirit lives in my soul, I must have a clean habitat or a clean place for my spirit to live. And that's why my thought life ought to be pure. That's why I ought to think on things that are holy and not things that are unholy. That's why I shouldn't watch the soap operas in the afternoon. That's why I shouldn't watch the primetime garbage that you're watching. That's why I shouldn't bring home the dirty VCRs and play them on my the dirty movies and play them on my VCR, because that makes the soul filthy. And if the soul is filthy, you're making filthy the house where the spirit lives. And if you make the soul filthy, eventually your body will be filthy. And so your soul lives in a dirty house and your spirit lives in a dirty house. So I'm saying that man is a threefold creature, body, soul, and spirit. The body houses the soul houses the spirit, and the spirit is that which comes alive when you get saved, a little lean-to, you might say, or a little place on the inside of your soul, it lives in your soul, where the Holy Spirit comes in to live. The Holy Spirit does not live in your body except as He lives in your spirit, because the spirit is His dwelling place, and the soul is your spirit's dwelling place, and the body is your soul's dwelling place. Paul wrote the Thessalonian people in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and wish for them a healthy body, a healthy soul, and a healthy spirit. Now, there are many things said in the Bible about the body. There are many things said in the Bible about the soul. There are many things said in the Bible about the spirit. But tonight, I want to address the fact that all three of these belong to God. All three belong to God. In the first place, your body belongs to God. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Your body belongs to God. Now, that's why you have no right to do what you want to do with your body. Those hands are not yours, they're God's hands. Those feet are not yours, they're God's feet. Those eyes are not yours, they're God's eyes. Those ears are not you, they're God's ears. Those hands are not yours, they're God's hands. That tongue is not yours, it's God's tongue. Those your heart and body is not yours. It's God's heart and body. And you have no right in this world to determine what that's used for. It's His property and it belongs to Him. Thursday afternoon, I walked inside a little building that's very sacred to me. The little building where I had my first convert walk the aisles. No longer a church. It's now a lodge building. Used for a lodge. They've moved the church farther out in the country. But the little building's very sacred. Because right down the center aisle of that little building was where I saw my first convert walk the aisle. Johnny Mark Gray, a little boy. It was there where I baptized my first converts. Two ladies. One weighed 235, one weighed 285, in cold water. All of us got the Holy Ghost while we were baptizing. We all shouted. It was there where I had my first, pastor there, and had my first funeral service. I preached my first revival there. I had my first revival there. It's a very sacred spot to me. And I was hurt deeply because it's now a lodge. We didn't build that church to be a lodge. We built that church to be a building to be a church. We didn't build that building for something pagan. We built that building for something eternal. We didn't build that building for so mote it be. We built that building for may God be praised. That building was not built to be a lodge. And that bothered me, and that hurt me. And tears came to my eyes as I stood there, realizing that we had built that little church out in the edge of town. We had built it to the glory of God, and now it was being used for something wicked and vile. No doubt liquor has been in that building, and pagan religion has been in that building. And God looks tonight at your body, which is His temple, and God said, I didn't build your body to strip off half naked and walk down the street. I didn't build your body to pour liquor in it. I didn't build your body to be immoral. I didn't build your body to rub against the opposite sex. I didn't build your body to be indecent. I built you as my own temple, and that's my purpose for you. And ladies and gentlemen, you are not your own. Your body is God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says that. It says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Your body is like a tool. The owner decides when it's used, and the owner decides where it's used. Now listen carefully to what I'm going to say. I don't understand any Christian merchandising his body. And I don't understand any Christian man lowering the sanctity of a woman's body to make it a sex object. I'm not talking about the marriage vows. I'm talking about this sensuous society in which we're living. There are men in this room right now that are committing adultery with Hollywood whores. You're watching those dirty movies. The truth is, you're committing adultery with a piece of glass. With a machine. You're a pervert. I said you're a pervert. I said you're a pervert. I mean, there's a machine there. A television machine. You ought to have enough sense to keep that VCR. Either burn the crazy thing or use it for the glory of God Almighty. I've had too many people tell me they got a bunch of movies on their VCR. It is as wicked as the devil, and it's destroying America, and you are going to face God for it. Somebody, we've got to get some sense in America. We've got to get some sanity in our Christian lives. We're living like the heathen live. We have the same thoughts the heathen have. We're committing the same sins the heathen commit. Same thing's true of the magazines. You're committing adultery with a piece of paper. You're perverted. You're a sex pervert. I mean, there's a body of a woman, and usually a prostitute or a whore or a Hollywood movie star, which is about the same thing. And there you are looking at that and committing adultery in your mind and sometimes in your own body with that person in God's name. Why don't you wake up and be decent? me tell you Hal Anderson College young men something. When are you going to be a man? Listen to me over here. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you. When are you going to be a man? When are you going to gain control of that body? When are you going to not be a slave to a television, to a box, or a machine, or a piece of glass, or a piece of paper? There needs to be a revival of the sanctity of the body of a woman. My mama used to say to me, "Son, the most sacred thing in this world is the body of a woman. God has chosen that body for the reproduction of the human race. God has chosen that body for the building of houses for souls in which they live. And son, you always treat that body with respect." Now I want to tell you something. It is just as vile and wicked, or more so, for you to bring the body of a woman down to an unholy, lustful sex object as it would be for you to pour tobacco and alcohol in the altar of this church. Because this church building is not a temple, but your body is a temple. America needs revival of respect for womanhood. By the way, some of you ladies would get respect if you'd be ladies. Run around here stripped half naked and lay on the beach like a bunch of animals stripped naked. Oh, for some old-fashioned preachers that'll preach again against mixed bathing. Oh, for some old-fashioned preachers that'll preach again against women wearing shorts around town. Oh, for some old-fashioned preachers who'll preach against on modesty. And oh, for some old-fashioned young men who are proud of themselves because they're clean and pure and decent and can live without their bodies controlling them and their lusts controlling them and yielding themselves. Listen, your body's not yours, it's His. You have no right to bring reproach to the body of the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. There ought to be 100 or 200 young men down here on your face in this altar tonight, asking God Almighty to forgive you for profaning the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is His. It's not yours. It's His. "I beseech you therefore, brethren," said the apostle, "that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." God does not want an animal on the altar. God does not want a lamb slain. God does not want a bullock slain on the altar. God does not even want your body given in martyrdom today. God wants your living body given to Him as a sacrifice laid on the altar so God can have what's His, because He purchased your body and He owns it. It is not yours, it's His. I guess I can understand a little bit why unconverted eyes would peek glimpses at a Playboy magazine. I guess I can understand why unconverted hands would place themselves on the body of a woman in lust. I guess I can understand why unconverted eyes would watch the soap operas. I guess I can understand why unconverted eyes would watch the movies on your VCR. But to save my life, I cannot comprehend a person redeemed by the blood of Calvary who belongs to Jesus Christ, who's purchased by His precious blood, stooping to that kind of sacrilege. We're animals. We're animals. Young men, why don't you become men? A man is somebody who can control his appetites and temper himself to do that which he's supposed to do. Why don't you become a man? May I have this mic, please? Or any of them here? Here you are, a slave. Got to get to my movie. Got to get to my R-rated movie. By the way, all movies are R-rated as far as I'm concerned.
And I'll tell you something else. I wouldn't watch a Walt Disney movie. Because they're part of that Hollywood cesspool out there. And the honest truth is, if you knew what goes on in the Disney movies, turn to something. And the purpose of them, you wouldn't watch them either. And by the way, you've got enough here in this Bible to read, keep you busy for a long time. We're animals. I'm not talking about the heathen. I'm talking about people in this room tonight. We're animals. God said through His man, show thyself a man. Show thyself man enough to walk by a movie house without taking a glance. Show thyself man enough to look at a newspaper rack without taking a peek at a girly picture. Show thyself man enough not to watch the dirty movies. Show thyself man enough not to go to somebody's house and visit when they put a movie on VCR. And God pity you people that open your houses to Hiles Anderson College students. They can come to your home and watch a VCR. That's as rotten as the devil himself. Why don't you be a man? Show thyself a man. Show thyself in control of thy passions. Show thyself in control of your appetites. His body is yours. Something else is His. That's your soul. Now you keep your soul in good shape, you'll keep your body in good shape. You keep your soul clean, you'll keep your body. Young people, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you too. I expect you to hear what I'm saying tonight. We got some high school students here. Nothing more than second class punks. You young men in high school, keep your dirty hands off these girls' bodies. If you're going to go out into sin, go down here to a house of prostitution, but keep your hands off of the pure young ladies of First Baptist Church of Hammond. Keep your hands off of them. Now, I'm not advocating you going to a house of prostitution. You could become a man yourself. I don't care how long, far you can kick a pig blown up, shaped like an oblong ball. I don't care how long, how far, how many shots you can throw through a basket with a round ball. I don't care how far you can hit a ball with a stick in your hand. I don't care how many push-ups you can do or how big your chest is. You're a little old puny, nincompoop, feminine person if you don't control your emotions and your passions. Be a man. I said be a man. God's name, what's wrong with you? Someday God's going to give you a wife, and you look at her, have to tell her that you've lived like a pagan animal. You rubbed your body against every gal in the senior class. Young ladies, you keep that body pure. You call me what you want to call me. It's time for somebody to point to you and say, some of you are living like whores are. Some of our young people left the banquet not long ago that Brother Eddie and others planned for them. I want you young ladies and young men, pardon me, males, pardon me, it's. I want you to hear me. Went to a banquet we provided for you. And during that banquet, you slipped out with your dates. Then came back at the end of the banquet so nobody would know, but somebody knew. And if we didn't know, bless God, God knows. Because I don't like your preaching. I don't like your living either. We didn't build that high school out there for you to live like animals. We didn't build that grade school out there for you to live like animals. We didn't build that college out there for you to live like animals. Your soul, your mind, your thoughts belong to God. They're His. That means my personality is His. That means my humor is His. That means my mind is His. That means my reading is His. That means what I watch is His. That means my thoughts are His. That means my meditation is His. My soul, that which lives in this body, is His. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Now you listen to me. young ladies, next time you have a date, you say, you're upset with me, you better know I'm upset with you. I'm really upset. Very idea of us giving our lives and our savings to put that school out there and to give you a decent life. Very idea for you taking that and stomping it under your feet. Next time a young man says to you, let's ditch a youth activity, you look at him and say, buddy, I'm ditching you. Next time that you young men are with some young lady and she says, let's ditch a youth activity, you say to her, I don't want to marry a rebel anyway. I want to go with a Christian. Your soul, your mind, your thoughts, your meditations belong to God. All souls are mine. And here's where the body sins start. I'd hate to think that with a hungry world, I'd have to keep my mind all the time on another woman's body. I hate to think with a lost world plunging toward hell, I'd let my mind be occupied with lusting after some picture or some screen or some movie or some Hollywood whore. I'd hate to think with as many people that need lifting and encouraging and helping. I'd hate to think with as many churches as America needs and as many Sunday school classes as America needs and as many people who need to be plucked from the fire, from the burning in the ghettos. I'd hate to think as many people that need somebody to teach them and train them. I'd hate to think that my mind was occupied with sex all the time. You see, I'm only normal. You're only pagan. You're like an animal. Like cats and dogs. It's time for Hammond Baptist young people to have clean thoughts. It's time for Howells Anderson College students to have clean thoughts. It's time for the men of First Baptist Church to have clean thoughts. It's time for the ladies of First Baptist Church to have clean thoughts. It's time for us to quit living like a bunch of dogs and cats in an alley somewhere. It's time we live like human beings. God has given us something above the animal life. May God help us to realize our body is His. Our soul is His. Over in the Old Testament, God's people had gotten so wicked that God used a little term called the chambers of your imagery. Even the priests, even God's ordained or chosen men and the others had built little places, little rooms way away from the rest of the house. Maybe down underground. Maybe up in an attic somewhere. Maybe on top of the house, at the edge of the house. They built little rooms. And they'd placed in those rooms all kinds of lewd things. And God comes along and says, I'm not just concerned about the rustling of the bells on the garment of your priestly attire. I'm not just concerned about the offerings that you sacrifice. I'm not just concerned about your singing in the temple choir. I'm concerned, He said, about that place where nobody goes but you, the chamber of your imagery. Now listen, you have one. 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 A place where nobody goes but you. Your wife never sees it. Your husband never enters. Your mother never sees that chamber, that part way down inside of you where nobody goes but you. Your brother doesn't see it. Your sister doesn't see it. Your mother doesn't see it. Your father doesn't see it. Your son doesn't see it. Your daughter doesn't see it, but God sees it. And God said the first thing you ought to do is get that chamber of your imagery cleaned out. Because that belongs to God. That's your soul. And that belongs to God. How dare you? How dare you
come and take something that's mine? What if somebody came and stole Brother Colston's car tonight and took Brother Colston's car and parked it in front of a red light district over here in Calumet City, or a house of prostitution, parked his car there? How dare you take the car of a godly man who wouldn't even slow down passing through that area and park it in front of a house of prostitution? Well, how dare you take your mind which belongs to God? Your meditation, your thought life, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Didn't say as a man acts with his body. Didn't say as a man preaches with his tongue. Didn't say as a man looks on the outside. As a man thinketh in his heart. That's what you are. You may fool the president of the college or the principal of the school or the pastor of the church, but you haven't fooled God Almighty, and you also have got to live with yourself. And you can talk your way out of all the things you want to talk your way out of. Bless God, there's a God in heaven that knows how you're living, and you're profaning the soul that God has given you. And just as your body belongs to God, your soul belongs to God. I call upon you men to be clean. I call upon you to be above the world in what you read. I call upon you to be above the world in what pictures you watch. I call you men to be above the world. I call the young man said to me, I love the guy, I love the day. Had somebody over his house watching a movie. And he said, we didn't watch they didn't watch it but 10 minutes. I said, you shouldn't have had the movie in your house. They wouldn't have watched it at all. Some of you don't like this kind of preaching. The reason is you've got a mind that's as dirty as Hollywood is. And this is the kind of preaching every red-blooded preacher in America ought to preach. You ought to open up those churches down there on Holman Avenue tonight. Call a man of God and have him take his robe off. Unloosen his collar and cut loose and preach for a while. Preach righteousness. Preach judgment. Preach temperance. Your soul is his. Every girl in this room who dates, listen to me now. Every girl in this room who dates ought to have a fellow who's not looking up and down at her when she walks away from him, hoping she'll bend over so he can get a few glimpses. You sorry animal. A deacon said to me in a distant state, and I was preaching along this line a little bit. He said, I'll guarantee you one thing. I wouldn't be a deacon in your church. I said, you're right. It'll take more than your pot better to scare me, Buster. Whatever happened to decent young men? Whatever happened to modest young ladies parked in these cars on lovers' lanes like a couple of dogs in the alley somewhere? You're not your own. Your body belongs to Him. And your soul, your personality, your thought life, your meditation belong to Him. And then your spirit belongs to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us, your spirit is His. The Holy Spirit could not come in the body. The Holy Spirit could not come in the soul. The Holy Spirit could only come into a spirit. That's the newborn part of a child of God. This is what was born when I got saved. Keep your spirit clean. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. Now you say, with the house, how do you keep your spirit clean? I tell you how to keep it clean. You keep it clean by using it for what it was given. How about praising God? That'd be a good way to do it. That's why God gave it to you. God gave you a spirit
with which to use for fellowship with himself. Won't you get alone somewhere or get with somebody? I don't care. A while ago, question and answer time. All of a sudden, the guy started walking down this aisle. He had a gun. He'd kill me. He got up right up here before anybody came after him. But he was lifting up his hands. It wasn't making sense. Obviously on dope or liquor or something. Maybe mentally deranged. I don't know. But at least he's praising God and had his hands lifted up. I wish some of you folks that are normal would do that. I wish some of you not ashamed to have to get on dope to praise God. You know why your body is unclean? Because your soul's unclean. You know why your soul's unclean? Because your spirit's not actively praising your God and worshiping your God and fellowshipping with your God and glorifying your God. You get in the Bible, you get on your knees to confess your sins, you confess, and you have thanksgiving, and you have praise, and you pray, and you worship. Then your spirit's being used for the thing that God made it for. We need a revival in the hearts of some of you young men and you young males. Need a revival of decency. Revival of your thought life. I'll be quite frank with you. You can like this or not, but we did it. We took the Chicago Tribune away from the college. Because the lingerie advertisements in the Chicago Tribune, nothing more than Playboy magazine. We just took the Tribune. You can't buy a Tribune at Howells Anderson College anymore. Sorry, young men, got to go somewhere else. The average catalog, nothing more than a Playboy magazine. But there ought to be some people in this world who don't yield to that. There ought to be some people in this world who say, my body is his. And I'm going to keep it clean. And my soul is his. And I'm going to keep it clean. And my spirit is his. And I'm going to use it for his glory. I dare you young men tonight, and you old men too, but I dare you Hammond Baptist students and you City Baptist students. I dare you to control your sensuous thoughts. You'll find out what a man is. I dare you, Howells Anderson College students, to realize that your body is his, your soul is his, your spirit's his. Be Christian. I can't tell you how it feels as a chancellor and a vice president and president of a college when young men whom I love dearly, who in many respects are like my own sons, are found to be watching R-rated movies on VCRs. I cannot tell you how that makes me feel. I cannot tell you how it makes me feel when our young men are found dirty magazines. And by the way, not just the VCR movies. Every movie that comes out of Hollywood is rotten. You said with the house, I'm going to join. Well, you go ahead and join somebody else's church. I'm not trying to keep you. I'm trying to preach the truth to you while you're here. You get you some little sissy preacher has lace on his undershirt. Go ahead. I don't care if nobody's left but a dozen people. The dozen people that are here are going to hear what's the truth from the Word of God. You have no right to smear your body. That's the temple of God and belongs to Him. You have no right to smear your mind with filth and bad thoughts and evil thoughts. You so live that when you walk out of that door right there, down that aisle comes the prettiest thing you ever saw in your life. You can look at her and say to her, I've saved myself for you.
When you walk down that aisle, you can look up at that young man and say to him, I'm as pure as my gown is white. And I saved myself for you.
It's hard to have clean mind.
Well, whoever asked you to do anything just easy? Why don't you swim upstream for a while? Men do what's hard and right. It's hard to pay your debts, but real men pay their debts. It's hard to be honest, but real men are honest. It's hard to have integrity, but real men have integrity.
You, Brother Hines, you just can't do it in 1990. You can do it in 2090.
That's why we have those schools out there. Your body's His. Your soul is His. And your spirit is His. You're His by creation. You're His by purchase. And that's what it says, therefore glorify God in your body. I was on a campus, just driving through it, of a school that was started not too long ago. Looked like it was supposed to, at that time, a fundamental Christian school. Looked like a state university. Some of you folks, you adore some preachers that have Christian camps where the men and women go swimming with each other. They're not fundamentalists. Brother, the darker the night gets, the brighter the light ought to shine. A little story you've heard me tell if you've been here through the years. I tell it in closing. Little boy lived beside the sea. He spent weeks carving out a little boat. Finally, the little boat was finished, and it was really a masterpiece. The little boy went out on the beach, put the boat in the water, and all of a sudden, the tide went out and swept that little boat out to sea. Little boy began to cry. My boat. My boat. My boat. But the boat was too far for him to reach it. One day, weeks later, he was walking down a street and passed by a toy shop. To his total surprise, he saw his little boat for sale in that toy shop. He ran inside the toy shop and said, Mister, could I have my boat? That's my boat. I made it. The man said, Son, that's not your boat. That's my boat. Some men found that boat. They were fishing and they found that little boat out to sea. And I paid for it. That boat's mine. The little boy said, It's mine. I made it. He said, No, son, it's mine. The boy said, How much did it cost? The man told him. The little boy got him odd jobs here and there and worked hard till he got enough money to buy that boat. He went down to the toy shop and bought the little boat that he'd made with his own hands. And as he walked out, he rubbed the boat and hugged it to his bosom and said, Boat, you're mine twice. I made you and I bought you. Jesus made me. He created me. He gave me the hands I have. He gave me the eyes with which I see. He gave me the ears with which I hear. He gave me my body. He gave me and created my soul. When I got converted, He created my spirit, and it was quickened by His Spirit. And not only that, He bought me with the greatest price ever paid. I'm His twice. He made me and He bought me. And so are you. And I called you to let Him have what's His. Let Him have your body. It's His. Let Him have your soul. It's His. Let Him have your spirit. It's His. our Heavenly Father.